Be sure to check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike.
Shields are doing a major fade! Hey, look at me! I'm a cheetah! No, I'm Cheetor!
Interesting.
Interesting? Optimus, the word is spot on smooth. It's a crime. Hey, I wonder what these gizmos are for.
It's time to shred some bread.
What do you say we give these new bods a test drive?
I am transformed.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I am TFG1 Mike. Steve Megatron is, I don't know what he's doing. He's off somewhere, I don't know, he's playing with his rubber ducky or something, who knows. Joining me this time, hopefully in a TF Wire triple threat, or a TF Wire trifecta, is the guy that created the TF Wire podcast, website, all that stuff, Matrix Prime, a.k.a. Jesse.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings.
Hello. All right, so before we get into any of these questions and before I give people the spiel on why the questions are here or whatever else, first question we have to ask you is, when or where did you come up with the nickname Matrix Prime? Because that's been your handle for as long as I've known about you or been, you know, associated with you and whatever else. So how did that come about?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That one's not on my, I know, that one's right? Not on my list here. Come on, Mike.
I know, right? We just gotta spring certain things on people, you know, except we're not green and stupid.
Right. So it dates back to when my family first got the internet at their house. I started high school in 96, and that was pretty much as I was going into my freshman year in high school. That's when we got the summer before we got our first computer. So growing up, you know, I was playing just like video games, wasn't playing PC games because my family never really was into computers and everything. But once I finally got into high school, I finally convinced them that's like, hey, you know, I'm gonna be writing papers. I need a computer here. So they ended up buying a computer. But when we first got the internet, we ended up getting AOL. And I was just going with a bunch of different screen names at the time. I think that was around the time that the Spider-Man cartoon was on Fox Kids.
Yep.
And I was a huge fan of the Venom character. I started using like Venom as like a screen name and Venom like having some sort of numbers after it and things like that. At some point I started getting back into having an interest in Transformers for whatever reason. Because I guess I was just exploring the internet at that point and just kind of seeing, you know, there's other fans out here that are still interested in this thing that I grew up with. And, you know, I was just checking out all these images, all these sound files, you know, all the WAV files out there. Mm-hmm. So
he said WAV files, folks. It just goes to show you how old we are.
I mean, I actually set up my first quote unquote website on the AOL web space that they used to give every person. I was like just stealing images from other fan sites and stealing sound files and just throwing them up there and just having my own personal space of these things. So I don't know. It was at some point that I just took the name Matrix, and I already liked the character Optimus Prime and just kind of slapped them together. So I would say probably somewhere in the 97, 98 time period.
Oh, sweet.
It was a long way to get back to that.
So basically you're coming up on your 20th anniversary or so.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so here on ATTF, as I have said in the first three episodes, the first episode was Steve and I just having an overall discussion, basically not really answering the questions, but basically telling our stories of how we got into or out of Transformers. Second episode was Optimus Solo, third episode was Pecan Crow Michael, and now we're going to have this trifecta of TF Wire here, hopefully. If Spada responds to my email. Anyway, we have 21 questions that we ask any and all Transformers fans.
Actually, before we get to that, can I throw one other thing into the Matrix Prime story?
Sure.
So, I've been using that name, as I told you, since about 97, 98, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was using it, I was a heavy poster or heavy lurker. I didn't do quite as much posting as I did lurking, but on the AllSpark, and that's where I used the screen name on there. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to register it on all the different Transformer forums as well. Mm-hmm. And I have successfully done that, so someone hasn't stolen it. But I saw someone posting under the name, quote unquote, Matrix Prime. I don't think they had the underscore on there. So mine is Matrix underscore Prime. And just using it as Matrix Prime. Come to find out, and you can ask him about this if you get him on here. I'm almost positive that was Spada at one point.
He tried to steal your identity. Wow.
I called him out. Like I didn't know him at the time, and I called that person out, and I don't remember if I ever got a response or not, but I'm almost positive it was Spada.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, so we ask any and all Transformers fans, even though we just started this new generation of ATTF, we ask them 21 Transformers-based questions. Now, why 21? Well, to steal a line from the Nostalgic Critic when he does his top 11, we like to go the extra mile.
And then some.
And then some, yes, that's right. So, question number one, and I say this, I preface this question before I even ask it to everybody who I know is or was or continues to be a Transformers fan. I know, I get it. But in case we ever talk to anybody who didn't immediately, you know, didn't grow up with the franchise, did you grow up with Transformers? And at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
Well, to the first part of that question, I'm going to have to say yes.
Obviously.
But I think I was a little bit young at that point because the series debuted, the cartoon debuted in 1984, correct?
Right. Yep.
That was also, or was it 85?
84.
Because the toy line came out in 84, right? The cartoon.
Yeah. The toy line came out before the cartoon. The cartoon ran from 84 to 87.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Okay. So at that point, I would have been 3 because I was born in 81. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember. I remember watching the original G1 cartoon on TV. But thinking back on it, it must have been at that point in syndication, in reruns. Because mm-hmm. I don't remember watching it until somewhere around the 95, 96 time period.
So you saw it when it got bastardized by G2?
No. That was sometime in like early 90s, right? 90, 91, 92, something like that.
Freaking cybernetic space.
No. I remember the original. I want to say I watched it on Fox. Like my local Fox affiliate was showing it after school.
Cool. Awesome. What Transformers generation is your generation and why?
Well, so being born in 81, growing up with G1, I'm going to have to say G1. However, and this kind of bleeds into, I believe, your next question, but one of my all-time favorite Transformers generations is the Beast Machines one.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's one thing you and I have in common. I think we're the only two people that will actively defend Beast Machines until we take our dying breath.
I will,
because,
man.
There are just some people that just don't get that series. So as a kid, what was it about G1 that really what was it about the cartoon or the toys or any of that stuff that kind of brought you into the franchise and as far as liking and all that?
Well, so for me, I've thought about this for quite a while now, after getting your questions, I think a week ago, week and a half ago or something.
Something like that.
But on this one in particular, it's just thinking about the 80s itself and, you know, especially the late 70s and early 80s, I think it's just the time period itself. Like, technology was starting to blow up. You know, robots were definitely an in thing. Like I remember, I remember looking at like the wish list catalog every Christmas, and there was like you could buy like a robot butler, and like you don't see things like that in magazines anymore.
They don't even do
the wish list magazine, which is unfortunate because my brother and I would look through there for hours at things we wanted for Christmas.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's just the time period, and some being someone who's always enjoyed technology. That, you know, taking that next logical step to robotic life forms or whatever, just, I don't know, it was just something that always appealed to me.
Yeah, you said it was, you know, technology was booming back then. According to Samsung, it's still booming today. All right. What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid?
My very first Transformers toy as a kid, and I only know this because my parents told me this, was my original G1 Wheeljack.
Oh, cool.
And my mom's mom gave it to me for, I want to say my birthday, but it might have been Christmas. I was born in December, so it's roughly the same time period.
Don't you hate that?
I mean, luckily it's at the beginning of December, not as opposed to the latter end of December, but my grandma gave it to me, and I don't know if it was for my birthday or for Christmas, but I still have that toy. It's pretty beat up. It's complete in the sense that the robot portion or the car portion has all of its pieces, at least all the die-cast pieces. It doesn't have like the windshield dome piece to it. And I'm missing the accessories to it. But in terms of the car itself and then transforming into the robot itself, it has all the pieces. The only caveat is that the arm, and I want to say it's the right arm, is broken. Like there's a tab that kind of holds it in place once you pull the arm out, and that's completely broken off. So it will hold in place in car mode, and it will stay there in robot mode. You just can't really move it around.
Yeah. Belongs in a museum.
It's pretty beat up, but it still has a lot of the white paint on it, which is surprising because I have it in like this Transformers collector's case, and all my G1 toys are still just thrown in there.
All right, now this is number five. Is a little silly because I don't know if people did this as kids. I myself and my friends did this as kids, and this is before the damn term of live action role play came up, but that's essentially what it is. Growing up, did you and your friends ever pretend to play Transformers at, say, school recess or after school, or basically before people needed Pokemon Go to go outside and exercise?
Right. So I was thinking about this question too, and I want to say, so we didn't dress up, but I want to say that we did.
Well, we never dressed up. Just to be clear here, we just, you know, we would all be outside, and we would say, "Oh, I'm Optimus Prime," or "Oh no, I'm," you know, that, right, you know, that kind of thing, and then we would just all basically fight each other.
So I definitely did, and I want to say that I did in, what, so probably kindergarten, first grade at this point. I want to say that I did, you know, with like the neighborhood kids growing up. But I don't really remember it all that much. I just know that I did. I really remember playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles more at school than I did anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? This is basically that question. Megatron puts his fusion cannon to your head and says, choose. And you can choose Autobot and Decepticon. So technically you can pick two, but who are your favorites? Absolute favorites.
And this is where he blows me away because of my answer. It's without a doubt G1, the cartoon version G1 Starscream. I love the characterization of that particular character. I love the Chris Latta voice. I think it's just an excellent pairing. And I was sad to see the character die in the Transformers movie. I'm glad they brought him back as a quote unquote ghost.
And then killed him again.
Killed him again, which is unfortunate. But I don't know how a robot comes back as a ghost. But I'm glad that they were able to bring that character back in some fashion.
Mm-hmm. So Starscream the only one?
I would say, so that was a Decepticon. I would say as an Autobot, probably, you know, hands down, it's got to be Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Cool, and I would say that's probably for every version of the Transformers that I've watched. He's either Prime or Primal. It's like a really, really good character.
So what are some of your others besides those two that you like?
So looking at G1, I would say Megatron for sure. I definitely like that character. I really prefer him more than the Galvatron character they ended up turning him into. Unless you look at the Transformers movie, then I really like that character. But when they went from the movie to the cartoon, it's like, I don't know what you lost there in transition, but you definitely lost something.
I love crazy Frank Welker Galvatron. I really do. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, Spock as Galvatron is great, and may Galvatron really rest in peace at this point. But I just love crazy Frank Welker Galvatron because it's just such a different voice from his Megatron voice that he used.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah. I get that the character was supposed to be a bit crazier, which they obviously showed you in the animation with, like, the electricity, like, flying through his head there. But yep. I just preferred, like, the movie version as opposed to what we got in the cartoon. I would say the G1 Bumblebee, really like that character. In fact, growing up, I know in the Transformer live action movies, they tried to like throw in these human characters as like some sort of, I don't know, relatable character for the viewing audience, but for me, the G1 Bumblebee character in the cartoon along with Spike, cause they were a really good pairing, was a way of introducing kids to the characters and actually, you know, bringing them into the storyline. And I thought they did a really good job with that. When they moved to season 3 after the movie, you know, kind of lost that and they were introducing us to other characters. But I really like that the G1 Bumblebee.
There's one moment, I think, is it Five Faces? Which one? Which episode is it? Oh God, I should know this. I know all 98 episodes. there's one episode where. Oh, it's one of the Starscream Ghost episodes.
Okay.
Where Bumblebee and adult Spike have to head into Metroplex's brain vault. It's Scourge and Starscream. That's what it is. Stole the eyes of Metroplex, and then the dummy dropped one. They had to get one from Trypticon. Yep. Anyway. All right. So on the flip side, are there any Transformers characters you absolutely hate, like you just can't, you'll never pay attention to the character in anything?
G1 Hot Rod.
I'm going to shoot you now.
I like the Transformers the movie version of Hot Rod.
You just don't like season 3.
I don't like season 3. I don't like the way the direction they took that character at all.
Yeah.
Just this whiny little bitchy character, and I just didn't like it at all. And maybe if it would have been okay if it was like a couple episodes, but it was like the entire season. And it's just, yeah. I get that he doesn't recognize the fact that, or doesn't believe in himself to be a leader, but there's got to be a better way of showing this.
Yeah, there probably could have been, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, I know this to be true. I don't know the exact story, but I know this to be true. And again, some of these questions kind of bleed into each other, but 9 and 10. Number 9, over your lifetime as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or weaker?
Well, so I would say I've had this happen to me a couple of different times. So obviously growing up as a kid, really strong, because I was, you know, I had the toys, watching the cartoon. As I start to transition from preteen into teen, you know, I'm going from elementary school to middle school, kind of lose all interest in playing with toys and things like that. It wasn't until I got the internet again, like I said, in high school, where I started to get an interest in Transformers again, just because, you know, it was like, oh, something from my childhood, you know, my childhood's sort of coming to an end now. I'm in high school, but it's sort of a way to relive that because, you know, I didn't have access to the cartoons. They weren't being shown on TV, or at least my parents didn't have cable. We ended up getting a satellite, I want to say, in like 97 or something. So I didn't grow up with cable. So I wasn't able to watch any reruns on there. They quit showing it on, you know, network TV, even in syndication. So I wasn't watching the cartoon. And any of the toys I had were just the original toys that I grew up with, the G1 toys. And they were stuck in the collector's case, buried in my closet. Once we got the internet, I was, I just wanted to see if there was other people out there that were also thinking about this. And there was. So I started to gain an interest in that again. And it wasn't until Transformers 2000, AKA Car Robots, AKA Robots in Disguise, hit in Japan. That's when I started to gain an interest in the toys again, because at that point I had like a disposable income and I really, really enjoyed those toys. So I started buying them from import stores. And then at some point, you know, I was collecting for this long period of time. And then I started the ETF Wire podcast. And at some point, I just got tired of doing the podcast, and I just lost interest in buying the toys. Not to mention the fact that buying the toys became a really expensive thing, because at the time I was buying them and reviewing them. And I was reviewing them really just for the fun of it. I wasn't really doing it for, you know, the AdSense money. A lot of people who review it now do it for the AdSense money. But at that time, and if you go back and look at my first Transformers toy review on there, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, but if you go back and look at the timestamp for the when I first uploaded my first toy review on there, I'm without a doubt one of the first that was doing Transformer toy reviews.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you and Spada are the first two. You were the first one, and then he came along shortly after that.
So I was just doing it for the fun of it. It wasn't until some years later, after I had had a number of toy reviews up online, before I started like throwing an AdSense on my stuff. And at that point, I wasn't really uploading anything. So any like revenue I was getting was from like stuff that had been uploaded previously. So I wasn't getting revenue from that, and then taking that revenue money and then buying new toys and keeping the cycle going like a lot of people do now. It was just, you know, I was spending my personal money on it. It was getting really, really expensive. And there was other things I wanted to do. Like, you know, I just purchased a house this year, so I was saving up for that. You know, at some point my interest just waned and I quit doing it. I'm still kind of, if we're looking at peaks and valleys, I'm still in a valley right now. I do look at some of the Transformer news. You know, I still hit some of the news sites every couple of days just to look to see what's out there. Just because I'm someone who is interested in the live action Transformer movies, which I'm sure we'll talk about here at some point in the future. But so I'm just trying to keep abreast of that information, because I know like they're filming here in Michigan for some scenes, and I've tried to be an extra in the last three when they filmed here in Michigan. I haven't been successful, but I've tried. So right now I'm still sort of in a valley, but you know, I still check out the news every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to the, you were pretty much the first one. I don't know if you saw this. I'll have to send you a link to it. My good buddy Paul, a.k.a. Optobotomus, who does a lot of the YouTube stuff, has been doing it for a few years. He was at TF Expo this year. They gave him his own panel, basically to give people his story and his history with YouTube and doing Transformers reviews. He essentially cites you and Spada as the inspiration to getting into the whole Transformers YouTube thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. All right. So, with the internet giving birth to the fans and everybody having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
Well, I would like to say that's what the TF Wire podcast was.
All right, let's parlay the question into that then. Tell us the story of how TF Wire came into existence.
Well, so essentially, I don't know exactly when the This Week in Tech, so the TWIT podcast first started. Mm-hmm. That was like after Tech TV closed down and they like shuttered all the shows.
Yeah, it was somewhere at the end of 04, beginning of 05, right?
I want to say it's somewhere around that time period, yeah. So I started listening to that, and that's back when it was good.
Yeah, exactly.
I started listening to that, and I really liked how they were, you know, taking these weekly news stories and then, you know, just kind of discussing them. So as someone who was, I was pretty active on the AllSpark at the time, and I would check out, you know, all the Transformer news sites. And every single one of them was doing the exact same thing. It's like, I don't know who their sources are or where they get the information from, and I don't really care, but wherever they get the information from, it seems like one person or one site will post it, and then the other sites will just kind of grab onto that and just post like the same exact thing. Maybe a little bit of commentary, but essentially it's just kind of reposting what everyone else has. So you essentially have like, I don't know, how many, is there like three, four big Transformer news sites out there?
Nowadays, there's TFW, which have been around for a long ass time. There's AllSpark. There's T-Formers.
Cybertron.
Cybertron.
So about four, something like that.
Yeah.
But they, like I said, they essentially all have the same thing. So, you know, I sort of saw like this hole or this void that was there. It was like everyone's posting this information and they go out on the forums to kind of discuss it, but no one's, you know, that's just all text. Here we are moving into, I don't know, more multimedia type stuff on the internet. And again, this was like in 2005, and it's like no one's doing this. So we did have we did have Brian Kilby doing Radio Free Cybertron, but at the time that I started the podcast, he wasn't doing it then, because his I guess it's a podcast now. At the time, it was like internet radio show. They weren't doing it. Like, they started that back in
99.
I was going to say 98, 99, something like that. So, you know, that came way before the TF Wire podcast. And I really enjoyed listening to that as well. But he stopped doing it. So I'm like, there's no one really, there's a void here. No one's really doing this. So I decided to just kind of do a test episode by myself, which is really terrible, by the way. if anyone can still find it, my website's down. I can talk about that in just a second. But if anyone's heard that, I think it's on YouTube right now. If you want to go check that out, but it's really terrible. Anyways, I just wanted to talk about the news and get other people's feedback and kind of, you know, throw ideas around and just kind of bounce off each other. So that's kind of what I did. I went to recruit some hosts, and I did that on the AllSpark. And everyone, all the original hosts were people who had posted on the AllSpark quite regularly. So that's just kind of how it started.
Yeah, the first crew you had was you, Pirated TV Pro, and I was 64, right?
I was 64 and D-Buster Prime, yep.
D-Buster Prime, that was okay. Yeah, that was the other one. And then eventually it found, you know, you found Spada and Ryan and all that. Is there going to be a reunion show? I saw rumblings on Twitter a little while ago about, yeah, we should do this.
Yeah, so I don't know about that one yet. I recorded a new episode, it's probably been a month or so ago now, and threw it out on YouTube just to see if there was any interest there. And a few people threw some comments on there, so they really liked it. Hey, it's nice that you're back. I'm like, I'm not really back. I'm just kind of trying it out to see if anyone's interested in this. But I would like to get together with Spada and Ryan to potentially record something.
Awesome. How often? Oh no, wait, I missed one. What is your Transformers personal anthem song? So which song from Transformers, like The Touch, Dare, any of the other instrumental stuff over the years from the various series, what would be your personal anthem song?
So definitely have to go with The Touch. I mean, I think anyone who watched the Transformers, watched Transformers the movie, really enjoys that song. What's the other one that Mark?
Dare.
No, the other one that Marky Mark's in. That, what's the name of that movie?
Oh,
he plays the porn star, right? Isn't it in that movie?
Boogie Nights. That was Boogie The Touch. He sang The Touch.
Okay, The Touch. Yep. Yeah. So definitely The Touch, which is kind of funny that it's in that movie. Porn star. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I also love Dare. So I got to get those two out of the way. But I also love Instruments of Destruction from the movie. Same soundtrack.
Yeah.
And one of my all time favorites is the season one and season two outro to the G1 cartoon. It's got a very melancholy type sound to it. And for whatever reason, it just kind of resonates with me, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
Oh, man. So I bought the Rhino, the original Rhino release.
The four seasons, yeah.
Well, I think it was broken up into...
It's season one, and then season two, part one, season two, part two, season three, part one, and part two, and then season four.
So is that like five sets? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so sets. I bought all those, and I never made it all the way through. So I have those, and if anyone out there has those, I'm also on one of the extras, I think on season two, part one, when they do the BotCon 2002 retrospective.
Oh, cool.
I'm not in one of the interviews, but you can kind of see me walking around in the dealer room. At that point, I've got like bleach blonde hair. You can see me in that. And then I bought the first two seasons of Beast Wars and watched all of those. And then for whatever reason, didn't buy season three. And then I really wanted to watch Beast Machines, and they didn't have that out on DVD at the time. So I bought a bootleg set. Can I say that on here? I bought a bootleg set. I bought a bootleg set on eBay because I'm like, oh, shit, they're never going to release this. And they ended up releasing it. So then I bought the official version of that when they did that. And I watched that all the way through because, again, that's one of my favorite series. And then they released the big Matrix version that had all the G1 episodes on it. So I bought that. And I started to make my way through it. And again, I couldn't get all the way through it, and I quit watching it. But
I would just, you know, I would get the Matrix set just to watch the bonus features, just to watch all the interviews that are on that thing.
Those are pretty good.
That's That's what I would get the Matrix set for.
Yeah, so I have the series a couple times, the original series a couple times over, but I haven't. I don't think to this day I've watched every single episode. Even growing up as a kid, you know, watching it in first run syndication then, and then watching it in syndication later on cable, or on satellite. I don't think I've ever seen the entire series.
What are your, since we're talking about the cartoon series, what are your thoughts on any of the recent incarnations, Animated Prime, the new Robots in Disguise?
So I watched, let's see, Animated. I haven't watched Transformers Animated. What I'm trying to think of which one that is.
That's the one with David Kaye and Gory Burton as Prime and Megatron. Right. That's the Cartoon Network.
So that one's been a couple years ago, right?
10 years next year, yeah.
10 years? Wow.
It's been next year, 2017, is the 10th anniversary of Transformers Animated and the first Bayverse film.
Actually,
it's been 10 years since the first Bayverse film came out.
Now that I think about it, when I bought some of those Transformers Animated toys, I was living in an apartment, and I haven't lived in an apartment in quite some time. So, about 10 years ago. Wow. So I kind of enjoyed that one. There was certain episodes I liked more than others, but overall, I think I appreciated that series more so than the Cybertron series or the Energon series. Armada, that was the word I was trying to think of. Armada, Energon, Cybertron. So I definitely like that one of the newer ones. I've watched most of Transformers Prime. I didn't watch it. The Beast Hunters, is that like season 3?
Season 3, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet. I think it's on Netflix, but I haven't watched that one yet. Overall, I like that one. I feel like it's kind of slow sometimes, especially with the human characters. Like, I feel like the human characters don't need to be there.
That's the only show in Transformers history outside of G1 where I feel that the human characters are superior to any other. Like, okay, I would take Jack, Miko, and Raph over Kicker and his people any day.
Yeah, but his name's Kicker. Come on.
No. Kick Kicker in the nuts. That's how I feel. I hate that kid.
Yeah, I don't. I remember the character. I think I even have a toy of it. Didn't they release the toy like a human version of him on a motorcycle?
I think so. I don't know.
I'm almost positive I have that buried away somewhere. But yeah, I think I really enjoyed the Armada one. Or sorry, not the Armada one, the animated one.
Animated.
I've enjoyed Prime so far of what I've seen of it. I haven't seen the new Robots in Disguise at all, other than like a few quick clips of it. I think my nephew watches that.
Okay. New Robots in Disguise is essentially them taking Animated and Prime and meshing it. So it's the story. It's a continuation of Prime, but it's the 2D, it's not 3D animation anymore. It's the 2D anime, you know, that's the best way I can describe it.
Right.
It's basically taking Transformers Animated, Transformers Prime.
Right.
Basically melding them together in a really, really horrible Digivolve state. I don't know. I like from what I've seen about Robots in Disguise, it is, I've seen the first two seasons. It is pretty good. It's very cool, but it's you gotta take some time to get used to it.
Right.
Supposedly, we all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
Yeah, supposedly. When you say supposedly,
Well, as I said, I wrote when I sat down one afternoon, I'm thinking, okay, Transformers. What can I ask people about Transformers? I got to like question 12 and I'm like, what else can I ask? And then I just started going. I'm like, okay, cool. This works. Some people have comic stories. Some people don't. That's fine. You just turn out to be people that don't, I guess.
Well, so with me, I think it's, I don't know that it's necessarily the comics. Like I grew up, I want to say it was in my early teens. Mm-hmm. I was heavy into the Superman comics. It was along the timeline of the death of Superman, that whole story arc.
Yep. Yep.
So I started buying it then, the Superman comics, and I continued buying it. I think because out of habit at that point, for like two or three years after that whole arc came to an end. And so the Superman comics are primarily what I have and primarily what I read. When it came to Transformers, I didn't really read those at all as a kid. Later in my teen years, when I started buying Transformer toys again, to collect them as opposed to play with them, I started looking into some of the original G1 comics, and I do own some of them. I'm just not a big fan of reading comics at all, I guess, other than that Superman story arc, because for whatever reason, that story arc resonated with me. And I think the whole comic thing also goes back to Simon Furman. And it's like whenever I go to the news sites and I see something with comics, his name comes up. And I'm like, I'm just so sick of seeing his name.
I mean, IDW has done a great job for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, they've really, like, if you start with, they have a one-shot, Death of Optimus Prime. That's where their story kind of starts.
Okay.
And then it goes into More Than Meets the Eye and Robots. Well, it used to be called Robots in Disguise. They shortened it to Transformers now. But at the beginning, it was More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise.
Okay.
Two Transformers ongoings. I don't know. You're not. Well, I hesitate to suggest More Than Meets the Eye to you, but I know Ryan is about ready to jump through his computer and bash my head in with Wheelie because of saying that I hesitate to suggest this to you. The only reason why I hesitate to suggest More Than Meets the Eye to you is because it's led by Rodimus, and you don't like Rodimus.
I don't like the cartoon version of Rodimus. The character itself, okay. I don't mind. It was just the characterization of that particular character in the cartoon.
Okay. So basically, if you start with the IDW Death of Optimus Prime, you can then go to More Than Meets the Eye, number one, and Robots in Disguise, number one, and you can either pick a path. You can read them both or read one or the other, whatever else. More Than Meets the Eye it's the most emotionally scarring Transformer storytelling that I've ever seen. This book, James Roberts, the writer on that book, this man does things to Transformers fans that no one has ever done with these characters. I mean, it just...
Do I have to, like, call the police or something? Or...
No. Just the way he writes the stories and the stories that he comes up with and the way they work in any kind of homages, it's amazing, amazing writing. It really, really is.
So it touches you emotionally, not physically. Okay.
Yeah, No. You will have physical reactions to what you read, but yeah,
all right,
no.
All right.
15 might be a stupid question because I remember you said you sold a lot of stuff.
No.
But how... No. I remember a few years ago you said, oh, I'm either giving it all to my nephew or I'm selling it. I remember that. But anyway, I could be wrong.
No, I mean, I probably said that, yeah.
Yeah. How big is your Transformers toy collection?
Well, I want to say it's hundreds. Hundreds big.
Okay.
I don't know the exact count.
Right.
I have sold some stuff, mainly loose figures, but definitely not enough. I don't have, I bought a house back in March and I don't have any of my toys here, to be honest with you. They're still in my parents' basement and I need to get them out of there. But I think I have 25 gallon tubs of Transformers.
Oh, wow.
Now, a lot of those, well, I won't say a lot of them, some of them are still boxed, still carded.
Right.
So when you have figures like that and you put them inside of the, you know, these storage bins, they take up a lot of space. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a number of them when you have a number of figures that are still packaged to store all of those. Like I said, a lot of them are still packaged, but also a lot of them aren't. And yeah, I have way too many of them. I have sold some. I do want to sell more. I don't have them here at my house, so I can't physically go through my inventory of them and see what I want to get rid of yet.
Right, right. All right. What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever? Like the one that you'll take to your grave?
Does it have to be just one?
Yes.
No. Well, then I'll have to say my G1 Wheeljack then. So that was my first one. But if I could extend it beyond that, I would say my entire G1 collection, because my, to be honest, my entire, so I'm talking about like original, I'm not talking about reissue, I'm not talking about
right,
any of those.
Right,
so just the original, my original G1 collection is not very big. It fits in, I have the Transformers collector's case, the one that's more, I know there's a couple different versions of them out there. but mine's the one that's taller than it is wide. If that helps anyone. but all the G1 toys that I have, like original G1 toys, fit inside there. So it's not very big, and that collection isn't very big.
All right. What was the most money you ever spent on a Transformers toy item ever?
This is a good question. I want to say on a single figure, it was roughly $200.
What was the figure?
That one was the Brave Max from Car Robots.
Cool.
Which I've told this story on TF Wire. I don't know if I've told it on any of your podcasts or not. Mm. But so again, that was at the time. It was like late 1999, early 2000s. I'm choking to death here. and there was a local import store that had like all sorts of like anime stuff and stuff like that. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it was called the WYSIWYG. And I remember they had a really crappy website at the time, and I don't think you could buy from their website, but you could see like what their inventory was. Right. So I'm like, oh, look at, they have this Brave Maximus figure in stock. So I drove to Ann Arbor. Again, I live in Michigan, so I drove to Ann Arbor. It was about it's about 45 minutes from where my parents lived. I was still living at home at the time. And if anyone's seen the Brave Maximus figure, it's obviously a recolor and retool of the Fort Max figure, and it comes in a really giant box. So they had, I think I got the last one, and I was there, I got it, picked it up, and they're like, do you want a bag for that? I'm like, a bag? How the hell am I going to fit this? How are you going to fit this in a bag? So I'm like, sure, I'll take a bag rather than carry this box around. So they have this giant, giant Hello Kitty bag that they stuck it in. And I'm walking around downtown Ann Arbor with this giant Hello Kitty bag looking ridiculous, but I ended up with my figure, so I was happy.
There you go. Awesome.
So an individual figure, I would say about $200. I think that's what that figure was. But if you were looking at the most I've ever spent on a Transformer, before Hasbro started re-releasing G1 figures, and before Takara started doing it as well, or at least doing it mainstream, I guess, they had like this, I want to say it's called Collector's Series. Yeah. It came out around the same time as like Car Robots, or roughly that time period. And they were releasing them in like two packs. So there was like, oh, you could buy, you know, two of the Seekers together, or you could buy two of the Autobot cars together. And they were really expensive. And I want to say they were like $225, $250, something like that. Maybe they were like $325. I don't remember exactly, but they were ridiculous. And I was buying all of them.
Oh, wow.
So dang. I was just spending a whole bunch of money on those. And yeah, it's just ridiculous. So now, yeah, there's some of the figures I still have boxed, and they're stuck inside their plastic prisons. And that's where they've been sitting since.
All right, question 18, the ultimate question here. Do you like, loathe, or are you indifferent to the Bayverse?
So I have mixed feelings on this. When I first saw the original Transformers movie, so that came out in 2007, correct?
Yes.
I'm like, oh, you know, we'd been talking about it on the TF Wire podcast, all excited about it. I went to like the preview night. I even got my parents to go to the preview night, which was like 2 days before it was like officially supposed to come out. And we went and saw it. My parents loved it. I walked away. I'm like, this doesn't feel like Transformers at all. But after subsequent viewings, I think I saw it like twice more at the theater. So after subsequent viewings, I sort of fell in love with that first Bay movie. Second movie, again, that was the one that was in that they made during like the writer's strike, so you could tell like the script was not finished at all, just throwing stuff at the wall to see what would stick. And I didn't really like that one at all. I think they completely ruined the Devastator character, but
they ruined it with one single edition and one bad John Turturro joke.
Yep, clang clang. The third movie I thought was a little bit better. I thought that was more in line with the first movie. And then the most recent one, so Age of Extinction, I thought that was more miss than hit. So again, I'm sort of a mixed bag when it comes to the Bayverse stuff. I don't necessarily hate it. I just think that it's been done better in some of the earlier movies than what it's been done as of late.
So the Bayverse, and Steve Megatron's going to kill me for this. I don't care. So the Bayverse is essentially going the route of Star Trek. Either the odds are good or the evens are bad, or the evens are good and the odds are bad.
I mean, so if that's the case, then our next one should be really good, right?
Let's hope. All right. If you could, if someone gave you a chance, IDW, Hasbro, whoever, could you could create any kind of Transformers fiction, whether it be written, animation, whatever, create your own toy, comic, what would you want to create, and what story would you want to tell?
So this is a really good question, because there's a certain time period in the G1 cartoon we know nothing about. And that's a time period between the end of season 2 and Transformers the movie. So I would like to see, you know, obviously animated, at least for me, because the hell with the comics. I want to see an animated version or a cartoon that takes place between the end of season 2 and Transformers the movie to see, you know, how did they build this Autobot base that would become Metroplex? How did they, you know, I guess have their bases back on Cybertron's moons? Like, how did any of that stuff happen? And it's just like there's a whole huge gap there, which I realize they did for the toys, because they're like, you know, we want to scrap all these old toys and introduce these new futuristic ones. So from a marketing standpoint, that makes sense. But from a storytelling point of view, it doesn't really make any sense, because we went from, I'm assuming, in the cartoon timeline, it follows, you know, like the actual timeline. So like 1985, 6 for the end of season 2. And then we're jumping to 2005. Well, what about all that time period in between?
Yeah, really.
So I mean, stuff happened there. We just don't know anything about it. So if I was able to create some sort of fiction, you know, that's what I want to see.
I don't think this is true, but because I have my own story that I've told over the years about my dad selling off my He-Man stuff.
Yep.
Do you have a my parents got rid of my toys story?
I do not. So my parents were pretty cool in that sense. They didn't get rid of any of my stuff. With the exception of Bump and Jump for my Atari 2600 dad. But other than that, no, they didn't really get rid of any of my stuff unless, you know, I was done with it. I said it was okay to get rid of. I still have all my original G1 stuff. I mean,
essentially you're using your parents' basement as your storage,
exactly,
you know,
yep.
compartment. So,
I mean,
oh God, could you? I know this will never happen because I don't think Andy will ever want to pick it up. But oh my God, Transformers storage wars! Oh, just nothing but storage bins with Transformers. Oh my God, that would be hilarious.
Yep.
Good old Dave. Okay, final question. What is the one piece of advice that you would give the Transformers fandom and collectors in general?
So I have two things here. So one for each. So for the fandom specifically, I would say just respect everyone's opinion. If you're posting on Transformer forums, like I used to, it seems like whenever you have a differing opinion, people feel like you're attacking them personally, as opposed to, you know, their opinion. And it's not even that you're trying to attack their opinion, is that you may just have a different opinion and they take it the wrong way. And it's almost as if you're attacking them as a person. But you know, that happens in real life too. I've had that happen to me. I've done that to other people. You just have to recognize the fact that you're doing it and, you know, kind of take a step back and look at what you're posting or look at what you're saying. And it's like, is there a better way I can be saying this? I'm not trying to attack the person or make it feel like I'm not attacking that person. So just kind of respect everyone's opinion and watch what you post and things like that. When it comes to the collectors specifically, I would say just make sure your collecting doesn't get out of control. a number of years back, I wrote a blog article called The Sickness of Collecting. And Brian Kilby actually brought it up on Radio Free Cybertron and had it as a discussion point on there. I don't remember exactly what it was that they talked about specifically in relation to the article, but it seemed to resonate enough that he picked it up and talked about it. But I see a number of different people out there. One you may be talking with next. It's like this giant collection. And he's like, we're talking about Spada here in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
One, he just had a post on there I'm not hating on Spada. Love Spada. hope we can do another podcast again together, Spada. But this is just because I love
ribbing
him. Yeah, that was the word I was thinking of. Just because I love doing that, especially with Wheelie.
I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for a good time to bring it up. He just posted, like, he's like, oh, I went down the basement. I think it was the basement. And he's like, I found this brand new toy that was in the box I didn't even know I had. Yeah. You have the stuff that you don't even know you have. So just make sure it doesn't, if you're collecting, make sure it doesn't get out of control. And, you know, make sure you're well within your what's the word that I want here? Well within your
ability and means to control.
Right. Exactly. Good way to put
control
it.
Your urges, people.
Right.
Not everyone needs to be drunk on Energon.
It's not to say Spada doesn't. Not calling out.
Damn microbots.
But yeah, that was when I was looking at this question, and I was just thinking about something he had posted on Twitter, and it was like, yeah, I didn't even know I had this, and it had been there for a while, I think. It's just like, you know, you just be aware of what you're collecting, and if you are collecting, just make sure it's not getting out of control.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's three people that I know that either one of them has a storage unit that is filled with stuff that is not in their house. Spada, I don't know what his situation is. Hopefully we'll find out next.
I think his son is just like swimming in toys.
Yeah, exactly. And then my buddy Peacock Rope Michael, who we just did an episode with 2 weeks ago before your episode will air, he has a closet in his office in the basement of his house that is just filled to the top with unopened Transformers. I'm like, dude, go donate all that stuff to Toys for Tots.
Well, and the reason I even wrote that article a number of years ago is because I found myself doing that. Like, I just was just buying these toys, and I'm like, I felt like I was addicted to doing that. And I'm like, I recognize that fact. And I took a step back and I'm like, whoa, I'm blowing all this money on these toys. I could be doing other things with this money. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just taking a step back. And that's kind of when I started to get out of the fandom itself. It's just like, you know, I recognize the fact that I have some sort of issue here, and it's getting way out of control. So I just need to take a step back, stop doing it, and kind of see where it goes from there. So.
Awesome. All right. Where can the people find you online to interact with you, sir?
Oh, that's a good question. So they can find me on Twitter. So I'm at @Matrix_Prime. You can also find me on YouTube. I'm youtube.com/Matrix_Prime. Maybe.
I'll put the links in the show.
Is that what it is? I don't even know. It's Matrix Prime. There's no underscore. YouTube.com/MatrixPrime. That tells you how often I upload things on YouTube. I was telling Mike here before we started, like, it took me like 15 minutes to get on Skype because I couldn't even remember my username. And once I found the username, I couldn't remember the password. So,
yeah, well, you know, you're one of the few rare people that have been. You're one of the rare people that have been in my circle of Transformers friends that, you know, have kind of gotten out, and they haven't pulled you back in yet as far as, you know, just throwing your life, you know, basically Megatron said it best. Why throw away your life so recklessly? But yeah, all Jesse's links will be in the show notes for people to go catch him on Twitter. And
can I pimp the latest episode of TF Wire?
Sure, absolutely.
Right, so if you go over to my YouTube, so again, youtube.com/MatrixPrime, I recorded episode 204, so that's the most recent episode of TF Wire, about a month ago. And that was just me by myself, just kind of getting, you know, feedback, listener feedback, to see if anyone wanted the show to continue. I even brought up some really old questions from Spada back when he was just a listener to the podcast as opposed to a host. That I answered on there. So if you want to go check that out, again, it's youtube.com/MatrixPrime. And if you have any interest in seeing the show continue, I guess just post your comments in there and let me know.
Cool. Awesome. All right, folks, I'd like to thank Matrix Prime, aka Jesse, for hanging out with me for this past painless hour or so. And next time, hopefully, we'll have Spada. If not, we'll have somebody else here on All Things Transformers Origins. Hopefully, Steve will be able to join us.
And if you do have Spada on there, he can hate on me, too. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all cool, bro. Sure.
And use the power of the Matrix to light a darkest hour.
That's it for us here on All Things Transformers. Transform, roll out, transform, transcend, all that good stuff. And people, stay away from the drunk Energon cubes, please.
Hey, that was fun!
Spare me this mockery of justice!
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.